My name's Jen Yuchin.
And I'm Ari Fox.
And we're New Gaming News, a bi-weekly podcast and newsletter focused on the esports and gambling industry. Partners and sponsorships, I only have one on this one. So, win.gg, who you know, the owner, what is his name? Starts with a V?
Yeah, Sergio.
Sergio. He was on a panel that I was on. But win.gg, they just partnered with Noasis, I believe it's pronounced, I'm not sure. But pretty much, this Noasis company is going to partner with them for analytics so that the viewers and the players can have a more interactive review and analyze their matches just to push the caliber of gaming forward, specifically in like CSGO and things like that.
Yeah, I actually have heard about that's a really great matchup, I think, because win.gg is a betting platform, if I'm not correct, right?
Yes.
And
tournament organizing platform,
right.
Hence their league.
It's more online tournament organizing.
I think it's only online.
Only online, right. So, you know, it's curious to me and interesting to me because I about 3 or 4 years ago, I was talking to some Israeli developers who were trying to create a layover, sort of like on top of a esport match that was going on.
Yes.
And based on the actual play, they were going to be giving like percentages of odds on, you know, who was winning, and you know, it was going to fluctuate. So you could do in-game betting and in-game predictions.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought this is, you know, almost a sort of a somewhat of a version of that.
Yeah, it seems so.
I mean, are these live statistics? Statistics, or are they just already recorded statistics?
So that's not spelled out. It's not spelled out at all in the article. But my perception on it is that the viewers are going to be able to see it in real time, and then maybe the players will be able to like study it, even like stage by stage. On their off time. That's what I'm assuming, but it doesn't explicitly say one way or the other.
And, you know, not only that, but I think that opens up a lot of doors.
Oh, yeah.
For many things like, fantasy betting on esports, so you're picking your players based on stat, plus
yes.
Also the you know, the way that, you know, your odds are, you can make those in-game bets in a much more, and also I guess it's helping a lot of people. Oh, what I was going to say is like these people who are professionals, they start with a certain stat, I think, when the game starts. So when the
a ranking?
Yeah, they have to start with a ranking and a stat
mm-hmm.
to start with. And then I don't know how that, you know, I think it's all mathematically, the equation is based on their ranking, their prior stats, and then based on their play and activity within the game itself. So it's quite complicated of an algorithm mathematically, and all that's happening in the background at the same time. But, you know, that's the beauty of, you know, of computers, because they can do all that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, they can track every move, and I think especially with esports, tracking and analytics just makes more sense. We can move on though.
But I want to mention one more thing, is that it's going to help also with the cheating.
Because they're going to be able to track it that much more, is what you're saying, and be able to figure out trends.
Yep. Mm. Trends and it's definitely going to help like the ESIC and all those other guys that are tracking these guys. If you have real life stats, that's definitely something I think that's going to change the way that players take their game, because it's going to be harder for them to cheat.
Yeah, I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
Perfect segue, actually, because I wanted to bring up loot.bet. They are teaming up with ESIC, the Esports Integrity Commission, and they're going to partner with them to bring the same kind of value, except for integrity purposes. So they're going to be giving them closer looks on their like analytics and their playing and things like that.
Right.
So,
yeah. No, I heard about that.
Mm.
So
trying to cleanse the industry.
Yeah, for sure. But I think that it's loot. Loot dot, was it loot dot box or
loot dot bet?
Loot.bet. Yeah, I know the guy who owns it. Actually, I contacted him. What was his name? I forgot his name. Anyway, I was working with him to try to get him to come to the Casino Esport Conference as a speaker.
Mm.
And I think that he couldn't make it. You know, they're based in Europe.
Mm.
But I think that they were thinking about coming next year. Oh, and by the way, the Casino Esport Conference in 2020 is going to be held June 17th and 18th. We actually switched it to the beginning of summer.
I saw that.
Yeah, so that's actually kind of an exciting thing to say. It's a great announcement because now it's going to come sooner so we can... It's going to be in the meat of things, like in the meat of some of the seasons. Like, you know, Evo is right there. So it's really going to help, I think, the esports industry as a whole to take that, you know, networking break and connect with everybody at that event. But moving on with...
a lot of excitement, too.
Yeah, moving on with Loot.bet, I think that... that's a great company. They're doing a lot of great stuff in the space, and I think that if you know, connecting with ESIC, it just gives bookies and people who and the bookmakers that much more confidence in esports, which plays a lot more into, you know, getting esports more, you know, in mainstream and more legitimate. You know, I was sitting on the line. I went to go see the Joker on Thursday night.
Nice.
Which was really a fantastic film, I was standing online, and these guys in front of me were talking about, you know, gaming, and the guys behind me were talking about betting on football, and, you know, I spoke to the guys, of course, who were in front of me because they're gamers, so I obviously had to talk about them, and I
obviously
asked them I had to ask them what games they play, and you know, they're like, I play Overwatch, and the other guy plays Apex. But then I was talking to the guys behind me, and they're like, we got into it, and he's like, I placed a bet. And I'm like, oh, what platform? He's like, I use FanDuel.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, that's cool. And he's like, I never liked football. He goes, I was never a football fan, but because of betting, I became a fan.
That's interesting.
And the betting people, you know, when they first repealed PASPA, which was the act that outlawed betting on sports in most states, except for Nevada, Montana, and Delaware. They knew, or they actually kind of predicted that there would be more people interested in betting on football. And so in tandem, we talk about how more people will now be interested in betting in esports. It's just one more thing that people can bet. They learn the game. They, you know, it becomes much more.
It's a win-win for both industries.
Right, it is. It's a total win-win for both industries, definitely. So, I look forward to a lot more from companies like Loot.bet, like companies like Unicorn, Pinnacle. These are all basically, you know, betting platforms that, you know, we're talking about on our podcast, but also giving them a plug at the same time.
Yeah, no free ads.
Yeah, for more free ads. Well, if they're listening to this or they get to listen to it, they should call us and we can. Maybe they'd like to buy a sponsorship, which would be nice.
Totally agree if you're out there. There's another article. I'm not going to go into the whole thing, but something I pulled out. So it's essentially about hedging bets. It says AC is finally getting around to diversifying its economy, and it actually
right.
has a chart for the Las Vegas gaming and non-gaming revenue, as well as the Atlantic City gaming and non-gaming revenue.
Right.
And they're talking about millennials, of course, and probably Gen Z, but they do bring up how Stockton University is a big win for Atlantic City. And specifically, they bring up the Anthony Goud. I think they even mention him in this article, Anthony Goud. It says, long-term, the Atlantic County Economic Alliance is focusing on key segments like agriculture, manufacturing, business services, life sciences, and gaming. So pretty much they shout out the events that they're having in Atlantic City for gaming, saying that in April about 1,000 people... primarily players from out of state came to this Atlantic City Esports Travel Summit, and just talking about the venues, destinations, travel, and all the money that they're spending because of gaming in Atlantic City specifically. They go into other stuff too, but that's what I got out of this. So just a fun shout out that Atlantic City is finally making some money back, and gaming is a big part of it. So
you know what I was going to say was, you were talking about that article in the, was it in NJ.com? Is that what the, where it was?
It was NJBiz.com.
NJBiz.com, right. So, you know what I think that they're, what they're doing there, you know, GameCon's been in Atlantic City for quite some time, and it has had its struggles for sure. Atlantic City in general, I've been in that, working in that city for over 20 years,
mm-hmm.
and in different capacities. And it has had a long list of many things that have gone wrong, and, you know, just recently the mayor was going to be indicted for embezzling money from a nonprofit organization for, like, youth basketball.
Yikes.
I think he embezzled, like, $87,000. But anyway, he recently resigned and stepped down as mayor. So the city's always had a bad rap, and it's a very difficult venue and city to attract a new skin, so to speak. I use skin in the way of, like, you know, a gamer would, like, you're putting a new skin on something that, you know, might have
trying
been
trying to rebrand it, pretty much.
Yeah,
I like the skin
it.
Reference, that was fun.
Right, so, but I mean, it's kind of a hard thing to do. It's a hard nut to crack. I've worked in that city many years. GameCon was in 2018. We had our greatest GameCon ever. We had over 1,500 people, I think, at our event. And InGame has had a bunch of events. They had the Esports Summit, Travel Summit, which I was at, attended. I was also at the CSL event. And, you know, it's hard. It's really hard, the kind of marketing you have to do to get people to come to the city. It's not an easy thing.
Yeah.
So I give Anthony a lot of credit. It's a very, very tough hill to climb. And in fact, I think in the article it mentioned how Atlantic City sort of missed its opportunity while Vegas was already moving ahead. Atlantic City sort of, like, didn't take that opportunity when it should have.
They could have been making a lot more money a lot faster, and everything could have been rolling.
Right, because once the recession hit, Vegas was already prepared to pounce on right after a recession.
Mm.
Atlantic City was still reeling from, you know, they had a great year in 2006 as casinos go, and then, you know, other casinos in Pennsylvania opened and the recession hit, and they never had an opportunity to rebound. But it's starting to come back now. I know a lot of things are happening. There's Stockton University. Properties are being sold still, and it's going to be, it's an up and coming place. So let's hope that, you know, the years of bad blood and bad mayors and corruptness and all that stuff is behind them.
Mm.
Because if it does move in that direction, you will have, and you can have, a very good gaming esport mecca in that location. And I think they have the right opportunity. It's at the time is right to do it, and I think they're taking a good opportunity and making it better.
I definitely agree, and I think it's showing that those kinds of events are bringing more revenue and a better reputation to Atlantic City.
Yeah, for sure. Because, you know, it's funny, because I know a lot of colleges, for the same reason, haven't adopted an esports club or esports as part of the college. But as the colleges begin to look closer at esports and video game competitions, they begin to realize that the people that are playing those games are quite intellectual. And the fact is, they bring in really high-level students to their colleges, and it's a win-win for everybody.
Yes.
So it'll definitely change a lot of things in Atlantic City, for sure.
Hopefully, in esports in general in the area as well.
And, there's a great opportunity for inner city youth too in the city, Atlantic City, and places like Camden, in South Jersey, to give these kids an opportunity that, you know, because not everybody can get themselves out of, you know, poverty by playing basketball or football or some of the other.
You might not be athletic.
Right, but they can, maybe they're really good at video games.
Yeah.
So there's a possibility that they can, you know, maybe get a scholarship doing that. So there's a lot of other doors.
A lot more opportunity.
and a lot more opportunity with this planting of seeds there with the video game competition.
I agree.
Yeah. So what else do we discuss?
So,
there was another.
This is one that you sent me. Right. Esports makes a deal with Nielsen deal to measure its audience. So essentially what they're talking about is with these bigger tournaments that have broadcasting rights and et cetera, they are fluffing up their numbers by using maybe different websites who have small clips of it. So that counts as a view for the overall broadcast. So with this Nielsen deal, they're going to be able to more accurately figure out who's watching what. Apparently, they reference the infamous Fortnite tournament where Booga won 3 million, saying that they know how many people watched it. It was like 20,000 spectating, obviously, in person, and they know the specific numbers from home. But things like ESL, Pro Leagues, and things like that, it's more of like a gray area. So they're working on getting more accurate numbers.
You know, this has always been a real issue with me, and you know, I've always had a problem with the fudging of numbers, and especially particularly the viewership numbers. I read an article recently today about how Ninja went over to Mixer, but it helped with getting other streamers to come over to Mixer, but it didn't increase viewership.
No, not even, because I check it every once in a while, and every time I've looked at Mixer, it's Fortnite is popular, and then, like, music, because it's, like, pre-rolling, technically live music that you can get on YouTube.
Right, so I'm, like, looking at this and going, you know, all I know is esports is a young industry. Video gaming competition is a young industry, and as any young industry, you know, it's going to come in and it needs to be fed. Think of it like as an infant or a baby or whatever. And the baby cries and cries and cries and cries. Sometimes the baby just cries because, you know, it's like over exaggerating and maybe it wants attention or anything. But whatever it is, it's always a situation where you think of the video gaming competition, esports in general. It's like a baby crying, and it needs, and the money, and the money is the food. So the investment and the investors are the parents, and they keep throwing more money and more money. And the reason why is because the baby's crying, and the baby's crying, and the baby's crying. The baby needs to grow up. So, you know, the more money it eats, the more money, the bigger it grows. And the bigger it grows, the more adult it becomes, or it grows and it becomes, you know, then it becomes a kid, and it becomes...
So you're saying, like, the food is, like, regulations and money?
Right. I mean, but esports has to act that way. It has to cry, because if it doesn't cry, it's not going to be fed.
Mm.
If it's not fed the investor money... And what I mean by cry, it's like I basically talk about over-exaggeration. Mm-hmm. I read a Newsweek article that said that Overwatch started at the beginning of the season at 350,000 viewers. Their championship series was 100,000 people less, was 250,000.
Mm-hmm.
And then recently I saw someone posted an article on LinkedIn about how awesome the numbers were.
Well, it says it was at a 16% increase from last year. The grand finals.
An increase, but well, how do you start the beginning of the season at 100,000 more viewers than at the end of the season you have less? So what is absolute? So sometimes I look at these numbers and I go, wait, this stuff doesn't add up, because I got one reporting that there was more when they started the season and less viewers at the end of the season. Then you get another article.
Well, I think that's natural, though, too, don't you think? Because a lot of people's teams are knocked out.
Yeah, but that's true too. That could be possible too. But you know, it's like, you know, I think the problem was you're talking about an article in Newsweek. Newsweek is an old publication.
Mm.
It's funny because when they talk about esports, they're comparing it to things like the Super Bowl. So they think that like all football fans. Usually there's a whole weekend for it, and everybody watches the Super Bowl, no matter whether your team's in it or not.
That's tradition.
What's that?
I feel like that's tradition at this point.
Yeah, it's traditional. So in many cases, it looks like, and what I'm trying to point out is that Newsweek will look at it and say, well, Overwatch created this league, and they had 350,000 viewers. Okay, that those viewership should be more than that, you know, either the same or more at the championship, because
that's
now,
what the Super Bowl does.
Right, and not only that, but if there's 350,000 fans, then they should be 350,000 fans of Overwatch, not 350 fans of. Of course, they're going to have their own special team.
Yeah, but if you're into, like, Counter-Strike, you're not going to care about the Overwatch League. Not necessarily, but you know what I mean.
Right. But what I'm saying is I think there's a miscommunication, and I think that, or at least it looks like, numbers get skewed, and, I mean, to me, numbers get skewed and exaggerated in some sense.
Yes.
Because esports needs the money or the proverbial food to eat to grow. And so the only way and you know the numbers, meaning the viewership or the exaggeration of viewership, is the crying of the baby that's saying I want to be fed, because it's trying to state its legitimacy by saying we're getting numbers, we're getting viewers, and you know nothing in this world today adds up to anything unless you have
viewers, yeah. Well, I think that's... Hopefully they're correcting that with this Nielsen deal. They are putting... In every aspect of esports, it seems like they are trying to fix the problems.
Well, you know, it's funny, though, but for so many years, I mean, you know, you had the statistical company Newzoo.
Yes.
Putting out and they were quoted over... you know, the last 4 or 5 years all the time. Everybody used them in their PowerPoint presentations and their predictions and stuff like that, which are not Newzoo's fault, but they were only getting the information from, you know, from the industry itself, from the esports industry itself.
So they were fluffing things up.
Yeah, things were very fluffed up. Were they accurate? No, they were definitely not accurate. But were they close to accurate? I wouldn't even say they were close to accurate. But what really bothers me so much is that you know, the industry, or at least the gaming industry, and I'm talking about the video gaming industry, and people in it, particularly, you know, when I run GamerCon, when I do my event is authentic. I want to have authenticity. I want to have clear clarity. I want to have, you know, the right numbers and be honest with the world rather than puffing something up because I'm looking for more investment. You know, I'm looking for more investment dollars.
Yes.
That just, you know, I don't know. It irks me because it makes me feel like, you know, you're just running. They're just going after the money. It's not about the communities anymore or the passion of playing video games or games in general. It's just about the money.
I think once it started blowing up, like the wrong people got into it and they got into it for the money. And I think that's why there's like... just shit exploding everywhere right now.
Right, and it bothers me to a point because what happens when people get greedy and it's a big gold rush is
it, you
see know,
it. Look what happened to Echo Fox with Rick Fox.
Right. I mean, that happened to Echo Fox. It happened to Invictus.
FaZe Clan, even with player. Like, there's too much going on. Not enough regulations. Not enough. Definitely authenticity is overused, but it's not that it's losing it, but it needs to regain a little bit of that.
Right. I mean, that's the whole thing. And you know, everyone talked about the A word, you know, and I'm like,
the A word.
I'm like, there is no A word here. This is nonsense. It's like
I think it's like, it's the same as the word passion in the context.
Right. But you know, I mean, based on if you go from you know, event to event or tournament to a tournament, it is based on passion, and that's where it began. But you know, when passion turns to
greed,
to greed, then you have a problem. And that in my view, and I've been sitting back and seeing a lot of greed and not enough passion.
Yeah.
And I think the passion is a beautiful thing when people can really, you know. I mean, listen, GamerCon started with game developers, and we still believe in game development from that side of things, because it's I think it's all about the passion of the people who create the games in the first place. They have something that they come up with ideas, imaginations, stories, and in that context, it's those are the ones that are the people that should be shining. I mean, eventually, yeah, the esport professionals and athletes that play video gaming professionally, of course, they have a talent as well, because they are the ones that can master the game. But it's the creator of the game who are the gods of the game.
Yes.
And those are the people that should be, you know, and what I see happening is, okay, perfect example, Blizzard, Blizzard Activision. I see a perfectly good publishing company that had tons of creativity taking their games and saying, well, you know what, we've made so many versions of our game, but we're going to try to cash in on as much money as we can, so we're going to start leagues and charge people $30 million for a team.
You think that's why Overwatch League made their league?
Oh, well...
I feel like it was out of passion. I mean, I'm sure money was involved too, but I still feel like Blizzard's pretty passionate and real. I think they're one of the best.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't think it was made out of greed.
I'm not saying that the people who make the games in Blizzard aren't passionate. I would say that they are, and I wouldn't say that the people who... I mean, look, the people who made Overwatch...
I'm a little bit of, like, a Blizzard fangirl, so it's, like, hard for me to even have good perspective on it.
No, but that's okay. I mean, do you also like Hearthstone, too?
Yeah, I do.
So, Hearthstone is also... But Hearthstone, I mean, that's a Blizzard game, isn't it?
They keep it, like, real grassroots still with that, with, like, the Hearthstone Fireside Gatherings, stuff like that.
Exactly, that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, but Overwatch is, like, diving into colleges. I feel like they're pretty in the trenches, too.
Yeah, I know, but it's a different kind of attitude with Overwatch. Like, Hearthstone is, like, this really chill, competitive game. And I like the way the approach that it's had. But, you know, when they jumped on the scene with the Overwatch League, I was thinking, you know, you may have jumped it maybe 2 or 3 years before its time. If you had just waited until that groundswell of grassroots was, like, you know, as solid as Hearthstone and said, you know, I think that...
But don't you think that Overwatch is more popular than Hearthstone?
I definitely think that Overwatch is more popular than Hearthstone, but what's pushing Overwatch is the marketing. Do you hear anything about Hearthstone tournaments?
No.
Right. I mean, you don't. But, I mean, it's a very...
I mean, I do, because I'm in it, but I know what you mean.
Yeah, but it's a very cool competitive game, and I think it definitely should have its place in the sun. And
I think, but it's still pretty popular with their, like, world championships and things like that. I think that it still has its place. They're just totally different.
I mean, it is, but, you know, it wouldn't be. You know, I would say right now, you know,
they're not franchising or anything. But it's like, can you really have teams though? I mean, I guess you could. Because it's not a team-based game, so, like, would you even need to franchise? You wouldn't.
Well, no, but you could have teams. I mean, you could make, you know, you could have players and orgs for it.
It would be like the fighting game community, though, where it's, like, all free agents. It'd be like Sonic Fox or not Sonic Fox, Echo Fox, but in result, Sonic Fox. It'd be like that. So,
right, but you...
Yeah, but you fighting know, game, I don't know.
I mean, you have the World Boxing Association with, you know, one-on-ones. You know, I mean...
I understand.
There's ways to do, but I'm not trying to bash Overwatch or Blizzard. I don't think that they're doing a bad job. I just think I see a lot of people getting involved, like you said, for the wrong reasons and pushing the agenda to a place where I don't necessarily personally feel comfortable with it.
Yeah, I agree with that too.
You know, I just think that you know, if you're into it, you're into it. I'll tell you personally, I didn't watch the Overwatch finals. I had no, like, I don't know, for me, it wasn't like it was that exciting. I didn't think it was that, you know, I don't think the hype is bigger than the game, you know? And I also think that the way that it was, wasn't it the Shock, right? The San Francisco Shock.
Yeah.
And they just slaughtered, Vancouver
Titans,
and I'm like sitting here going, this isn't like, I don't even think the Titans were the right team for the final.
Yeah, but they won, like, that's just how it was.
Yeah, I know, but it's just, it's just like, it just had no suspense. It was quite, it was just a slaughter, boring. Mm. Okay, it was like, the whole thing was over in like a matter of,
well, you could say that with like the World Series and things like that too. Like sometimes you get a year where it's, you don't, you know who's gonna win.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you never know. So yeah, I suppose. But you know, listen, I guess I'm just not a big Overwatch fan. So I might be.
That's good for the bigger conversation though, because it does show that esports is so different. And if you're a fan of one game, it doesn't necessarily mean you're a fan of another game, and you could not care about it at all. And I think that's why it's such an interesting industry, and it's really its own thing.
Right, and that's what makes it so unique, I think.
Yeah.
But you know, when I try to, like, you know, when I look at the Overwatch community, I see, like, everyone's been, like, they're trying to push it into, like, a football type of thing.
They are, yeah. A little bit, yeah.
And it's kind of annoying, but you know what? I mean, it's like, listen, if that's what's going to sell tickets and, you know, it's going to get viewership, then all the power to you.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're going to sell a franchise for $20 million, you damn better well get your money's worth.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, listen, a lot of these Overwatch teams are owned by very wealthy individuals. And those wealthy individuals, $20 million is really, you know, a lot. It's a shit ton of money. But for these people, it's like, you know, they'll spend that on, like, you know, six or seven football players or whatever else they own. So it makes sense. But at the end of the day, they want their money. They want their worth back. If you're putting in the $20 million, they want to get something out of it. So, it's yet to be seen. I think it's too early to determine. But the way it's going, it's legitimizing. It's mainstreaming, and if you're not an Overwatch fan, at least what it might do is give legitimacy to other games that are going to follow behind it.
I think that's exactly what it's doing, and I think that's what it's trying to do.
Yeah, and other communities that follow behind it, which is just overall good for esports. So, Overwatch, cool. I'm not a big fan, but, you know, esports as a whole is going to benefit from what they're doing there. So, I'm sort of like on the fence. I can go both ways. You know, that's my two cents about the Overwatch finals. But we'll see who's in it next year. Hopefully it might be a little bit more exciting. And I'm glad to see that it's really growing in the college levels.
It really is. Hugely.
And the other thing is, you know what else I find is, like, you know, the whole article we're talking about is the Nielsen. Nielsen's getting involved. It's so funny to me because what I see with that is, like, okay, Nielsen, is there no more like, you're not even rating TV anymore because nobody's actually watching
it. It's true.
And I'm like, wow, it's that bad. That Nielsen actually, who is, you know, one of these West Coast, you know, statistical companies that has, or I don't know where they're based, New York, whatever. But, I mean, you're talking about a rating system that, you know, I think talked to, I remember listening about the Nielsen ratings when I was, like, 2 years old.
Mm.
And, I mean, it's like, that was, like, the, you know, everything was the benchmark on how many viewers you got and how Nielsen, you know, checked that out. And, like, you know, I mean, you know, the Seinfeld show. And it's sad in a way that like our entertainment world is, like, changing so much. And that Nielsen, as this big ratings company, had to turn a new leaf and get involved in video gaming and esports, which is, I guess, if they want to stay.
The next form of entertainment. It makes sense to me. I mean, it's sad in, like, it's sad in the nostalgic sense, but at the same time, like, for me, it's very exciting.
But you have to give them credit because it's an old company turning over a new leaf. All the listeners, and, you know, that's what we always talk about at the Casino Esport Conference, to all the casinos. These old guys have to turn over new leaves to bring in the young people, to bring in the next generation of entertainment, and that's what I see happening, and that's the opportunity for everyone.
That was good insight. I didn't even really think about that.
Yeah. So I think was there one more?
No, that was it. That was perfect.
Yeah. So I guess I'll see you in 2 weeks. But I'll talk to you in 2 weeks. But it was a pleasure talking, and thank you to all our listeners and everybody that's been listening out there. And as again, I wanted to just the Casino Esport Conference has now moved to a new time. It's in June 17th and 18th. And yeah, there's a lot more to come for me anyway, because we're working on some big things for Gamecon for 2020. So that's going to be quite exciting.